Okay, could you keep it going?
Yeah, can you keep it going, or will I end up getting fired?
Mm-hmm.
Which was happening to presidents all across the country at that time. And on that score, I thought, well, you know, my chances of getting fired are probably as great here at Wisconsin as they are at Minnesota or Michigan. If this stuff's going to continue, I was clear on that. I knew it would end because I had had enough experience with movements to know that they lose their momentum over a period. They couldn't carry on. But I also knew that it was going to last for a while. It wasn't over with by any means. And you had the Vietnam War, and you had the racial thing, and those were going to last. So when I weighed the probability that I'd end up getting fired, I thought, well, you know, that's six to one and a half a dozen the other. I'm exposed anywhere I go if I'm going to do that. And I did believe sincerely that I could handle most things. I couldn't deal with the wild card. If somebody bombed something, you know, I can't deal with crazy people. But if I deal with this in accord with what I believe is the correct philosophy for coping with this, I can survive 90% of this. And
right out the way it would be.
And so let's give it a try.
Did Fred Harvey Harrington, was he aware of the fact that you were meeting with Minnesota?
And, yes.
These were pretty secret otherwise.
Yes,
weren't they?
Yeah. But what, I told him.
What did Harrington say? Was he in favor of your...
He was... well, he didn't want me to go.
Right.
But Fred, who had aspired himself to be a president for a long time, you know, was never discouraging to me about going. He told me, as between the two, he hoped I'd go to Minnesota. Now, why he thought that, I don't know. Or why he... I didn't want to go... as between the two, I didn't want to go to Minnesota for three reasons. One was that I didn't want to go any further north. I was cold enough where I was. Another was that I didn't like to live in big cities. I liked the smaller cities. And the third reason was that, as between Minnesota and Michigan, it was clear that Michigan was much the greater university. And therefore, if I was going to do this at all, why not go to the place that was the...
Just a reaction here, and then I'll have a few wrap-up questions. When you heard of the bombing of Sterling Hall, were you surprised that that had come to that?
Yeah, I really was. I was both surprised and very saddened, because I just didn't believe that that would happen.
Did in Madison, at least, it seemed to really deflate the movement. Did that have an effect on, in Michigan, similar to
Well,
that?
No, what had the effect here of ending it? That was a part of it. You see, I had been saying to the student group all along, you know, this is going to get out of hand sometime on you if you continue this this kind of thing, because you can't control totally your own members.
The wild cards, yeah.
You can't control this wild guy. And some incident like that can get out of hand. And when it can, comes all hell breaks loose. And you can't handle it, and I can't handle it. And so you got to be careful that that doesn't happen. Well, and I said, you know, somebody gets killed. This is not, we're not just playing around. Somebody gets killed in these kind of accidents. And not long after that came the Kent State thing, the Wisconsin thing, the Jackson State thing, Mississippi State, or wherever it was. There were four places that broke loose, and there were killings. And boy, that really put a lid on things.
Mm-hmm.
The people woke up at that point. So that was the beginning then of the closing part of the real problem.
Looking back at your years at Wisconsin, what do you consider your most significant accomplishments at UW as chancellor, as chancellor?
Well, I suppose that universally, people who knew that period would say that probably the major thing was containing the student problems and at the same time protecting the rights of free speech and so forth. From my own standpoint, I would say that I got greater satisfaction out of the fact that I had believed strongly when I went into the position that you had to have an alliance with the faculty,
mm-hmm.
that you can't govern a big place like this where the tradition of faculty participation is strong without involving them and without making it a real involvement. But I was also confident, for reasons I've already said, that you go into those meetings better prepared than anybody else because you know more about the problem, you know more about what the possibilities are, and you've thought about it more. And if what you propose to do sounds reasonable, you can usually get the support. And that support is critical.
Now, one of the other things a couple of people have said in terms of your accomplishments at the university, and I don't know if you consider this an accomplishment or an issue or whatnot, so let me just say it, is that you clearly defined the role of UW within the context of system, that you made a clear delineation between what the UW-Madison campus's role was and the UW system. Was that something that you thought about?
Yes, it was. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that when you asked that question. Yes. From the very outset, you see, Fred and Clodius, when I talked to them originally, said, this is real. That is, we want the chancellor to run this place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that happens.
Yeah.
And I said to them, and I said subsequently, that's important to me. If you want me to come, and you want me to take this position, then I want to be able to run the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very good about it, and it worked out. And I do think that's important because Madison is clearly the queen bee the system.
Yeah.
And you couldn't let that be eroded.
Now, I've talked to so many people, I hope I'm not misquoting Leon Epstein, and if I am, please, Leon, forgive me. But I believe he said that one of the things about the Vietnam protest movement is that Harrington did stay out of it pretty much, and that as much as anything really helped clearly define that there was a difference between central administration and the campus, that you were representing the campus at this point, and that Harrington actually did a smart thing by keeping out of that.
I think that's probably true.
Last word. I always have a section called Last Words, and simply, do you have any closing comments you would like to make about your, well, actually three sort of careers at the University of Wisconsin?
No, except that my abiding affection for and admiration of the University of Wisconsin is very great. I enjoyed immensely my law school years there. I enjoyed the years when I first came there, even though it was a period for me, a rather unique period, since I'd never intended to be in a university or a faculty member. Certainly was a learning period for me, but I found it was a climate and a location which I greatly enjoyed and ended up spending my life in. And very happily, you look back, you know, and you say, gee, all the unintended consequences here. I spent my lifetime in universities, never having intended to at all. I do think that the fact that I had all this labor background was a unique mm-hmm. preparation.
Very much so, yes, yes indeed.
For what happened on the campuses, and that I like to think that, of course, if I'd been there in a, quote, normal period, that I could have been a very effective chancellor or president in any mm-hmm. event. Mm-hmm. But the fact that that did occur while I was there, I was obviously better prepared than most university presidents to deal with that, because most university presidents had no experience in that kind of thing at all and were either afraid of it or were you know, would get mad,
mm-hmm, right.
get angry at the insults, and really couldn't tolerate it. And that was probably true of most university presidents. They never had any experience of that kind. And to somebody like me, that was not only largely theater, but it was kind of fun to plot your strategy
yeah.
in return.
Yeah.
See. And so
sort of like a chess game where the pieces
yeah.
were alive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so I didn't, I didn't lose any sleep over it, I worried about these things, but my worries would translate into my sitting down and thinking about strategically, how do I handle this now? Here's what they're doing. What do I do?
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And if I do it that way, what will the problems be? And if I do it this way, what will the problems be? And what is my objective? Well, my objective is to preserve the freedom of speech and the openness that a university must have, and allowing people to express views that are unpopular and so forth, but containing the violent aspect of it. How do I do that? The conclusions I reached, of course, were largely conclusions I had reached as a result of all this experience yeah. in the labor field.
What's bred in the bone, kind of.
yeah.
Thank you for sharing with me and with people who listen to this tape your career at the Industrial Relations Center, at the law school first, Industrial Relations Center, yeah. and as chancellor. I told you the other day that my dissertation had been on James Bryant Conant, and his autobiography was called My Several Lives. I think
yeah.
that would fit your career as
yeah.
well. So
yeah.
Thank you very much for this chance to interview you,
Thank you.
Mr. Fleming.
I've enjoyed it.
Okay.